I learned a very valuable life lesson not long ago simply by ironing a shirt. Yeah. Last summer, I ordered a new type of shirt that were all the rage. It was a lightweight, long sleeve, button down fishing shirt. Yeah, it's a performance fishing shirt, to be exact. These are all the rage, right? So I had to get one. Well, don't get me wrong. I don't fish, nor do I ever want to fish. It's just something I'm not looking to do. Thank you very much. I do a lot of things. I don't need to do that. But I just wanted that shirt. I wanted that fishing shirt. It's cool. So I waited for my place to get the color that I wanted back. They didn't have the color I wanted, and I waited and waited. Finally, it came back in stock. And when it did, when I saw that it came in stock in my size, I got my trusty coupon from over on Retail Me Not, and I got my trusty coupon code, and I ordered up that shirt. And let me tell you, it showed up about a week later. I was excited. It was all packaged real tight, you know, and I opened it up, and it was exactly what I'd been hoping for, and it fit perfect. The only problem, it wasn't really a problem, the only thing was it had some pretty prominent fold lines in it. You know, they send those things that are folded pretty tight and had some fold lines in it, but that's not a problem. I didn't have iron. So I went and I got, went over to my ironing board. I turned on the iron. I put that baby full tilt because that's why anything else, you know, if you're going to iron, you know, so go all the way. And I waited, you know, had a little something to drink, and then, you know, went over and did a little on the iron. Wonderful, that's good. I then put my shirt on the ironing board, unfolded it real good, completely laid it out. Then I picked up that hot iron and I began, or should I say, I ended. Yes, the second the iron touched the brand new shirt, it melted. It melted like a cheap garbage can, a garbage bag in a campfire. And I didn't just mar this shirt. It instantly destroyed it and turned it into a molten ball of sticky plastic. My beautiful brand new shirt. I couldn't believe it. I looked at the collar, which is all that was left. I looked at the collar for some cleaning and some care instructions. And I noticed some symbols. No words. Symbols. Symbols. And these symbols I am not familiar with, to tell you the truth. I don't really ever look at care instructions, even if they were written out. I've never looked at them anyway. But I did look up what they meant. And I realized how important those instructions really are. You see, I've never looked at labels before. I just, for me, I'll let you into my world. I throw everything in warm water, throw in a color catcher, and I expect it to come out fine. But that day, I learned, and here's what I learned. You can't make up your own instructions for something that you really don't know anything about. Now, I'm going to say that again, because you may want to write that down. I know Ms. Becky will. You can't make up instructions for something. You cannot make up instructions for something that you really don't know anything about. And I could prove it with this beautiful molten ball that is now a paperweight on my desk. That performance fishing shirt was an awesome shirt. And it was made with guidelines. It was made with instructions on how to care for it so it would be all that it's supposed to be and enjoyed for a long time. But even though I owned the shirt and had it right in my hands, I didn't know those care instruction guidelines. I couldn't have established what that material needed, and I am not the one who should decide how to properly care for a shirt so I can get the most out of it. It's not my job. I don't know that stuff. I'm not good at that. There are, however, people who researched that material before they picked it to make that shirt. People who designed how the whole shirt experience should operate, and people who hand the shirt out to the public with care instructions printed right in the shirt. These craftsmen, these creators, want you to enjoy their product so much that they dutifully stamp the rules, the guidelines, and the instructions into every single collar and every shirt they make before they ship it out to people like you and me. Gang, we come to this chapter of our study of how we can enjoy life with the objective of making sure we do not take a hot iron to a life that isn't designed to withstand that kind of heat. If we find ourselves, if you're here tonight, you find that you're not enjoying life, it may be that we have ignored the care directions. We may well have acted out of complete or incorrect information, incomplete or incorrect information, or we may be missing enjoyment we should be experiencing because we are applying our own care instructions to our life. If we are ignoring the manufacturer of life and disregarding his care instructions, then we've come to our point tonight. You're fairy taling about God. So let's jump right into our first fairy tale about God. Here it is, the fairy tale, total fairy tale. There are plenty of gods, and picking any one of them will work. There are plenty of gods, picking any one of them will work, right? Now, doesn't that sound good? That sounds good. Matter of fact, let's even add to it. Let's make it even more grand. There are plenty of gods, and picking any one of them will work, especially if you're sincere, especially if you're fully devoted, and especially if you're committed. Now, that sounds really good, right? Well, here's the deal. Your life is just like my performance fishing shirt. It was made by someone, and not just anyone. There is an originator. There is a creator. There is an inventor, and there is a designer. And that architect, that maker, cannot be denied, and he cannot be traded in for someone or something that is not the real McCoy. For instance, you can't say Buddha is the originator of the universe because Buddha didn't make anything. You cannot say Muhammad brought life into being because he never pretended to have the power to do that. Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, L. Ron Hubbard, all created nothing. Friends, when we go on fact and reject fantasy, we find there's only one triune God who is the creator of the expanse of space and the author and the dispenser of life. Here is what John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says. Everything was created through him. That's Jesus, God. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. Choosing anything to assign as, well, that's my God, doesn't make it divine. It doesn't make it capable. It just means it's something you choose to give yourself to. The one and only triune God, God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all of it together, is overwhelmingly unique. He is not like any other God. He is incredibly unique. Our God, spoke directly from heaven to his people. Did you know that? Israel had to tell Moses, tell God stop. We can't handle it. We can't handle God speaking from the heavens anymore. God spoke till we told him to stop. Our God has offered you and me a written account of creation. Here's how it happened. God spoke. It happened. He took the dirt of the ground, breathed into it, made man. God gave us a detailed account of that. Our God has performed healings. Our God has parted the seas. He has performed countless miracles, sent fire from heaven, made donkeys talk, and let men walk on water. All recorded, all witnessed, and none of it ever refuted. None of it ever been proved wrong. Our God has provided us insight into the spiritual reality around us and specifics of the spiritual war that's going on for your life and my life. Our God has raised people from the dead, and he has himself been raised from the dead. Amen. Our God changes people by residing inside of us in spirit form. Our God offers his gift freely to anyone and everyone. No price tag, nothing you have to do, no deeds required, no prerequisites on demand on our end. Free gift from God, just believe. We are fairytaling if we think anything else is God. In fact, nothing can scratch the surface of who and what the one true God is. So why isn't everyone following him? Why isn't everyone following him? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? For some, they simply have not been introduced to him. Some have just not been introduced to Jesus yet. But for most people you and I rub shoulders with here in America, people want a God on their own terms. They don't want him on his terms. Theologian Bill Ogden writes this: people would like to think that anyone who sincerely seeks God by practicing any religion or who lives what they consider a good life will make it to heaven. People want a permissive God who accepts people on their own terms, not a holy God who judges people based on his standards. Friends, if we are truly seeking to enjoy life, you need Jesus. If you think you don't, if you think somebody else will do it or something else will do it, you're fairytaling. God stamped this on life's shirt collar. 1 John 5:12. Check this out. Whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Gang, I don't really know how God could make it any more plain. People are like, I don't understand the Bible. Well, let me read you 1 John 5:12. Whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever doesn't, well, they don't have life. If you want to enjoy life, the care instructions start with trusting the one who made your life. Acknowledging that Jesus made us. All things were made through him, remember? Jesus made us. Acknowledging that Jesus wants the best for you at his own expense. That's what love is. Acknowledging that he wants to commune with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to impress his thoughts on your mind and heart. And acknowledge that Jesus has a unique plan. A unique plan and a purpose for each of our lives. I'm blown away by that. You know what? As I stand here, it's like, did you realize there was a man in Pennsylvania who there was a very unique purpose in his life? It may seem like nothing to you, but he opened up his barn to let us do church there. You and I know. He doesn't feel this way, but you and I know. That's unbelievable. This is crazy. That was a unique, amazing thing. Purpose for his life. You and I don't poo-poo that at all. We're like, whoa, yes. And here we stand. Let me ask you. Fairytaling. Fairytaling tells us you can believe in whatever you want. Okay, that's fairytaling. You can believe in whatever you want as long as you're really committed to it. You can be really committed to it. Friends, that's a fantasy. You can't pick the wrong God. You have to pick the right one. Nature is not God. I was watching a show Alone, where they put people alone and they camp out in these terrible places forever. And you wouldn't believe how much they worship nature. Picking up a little squirrel that they killed, Thank you, squirrel, for your life. They're worshiping nature. It's not God. That's what God created. And it's awesome, but it ain't God. People are not God. Any person is not God. Jesus Christ was the God-man, totally different than what you and I are. And guess what else? Sorry for all the Scientologists to understand, you are not God. You ain't. You can think all day you are. You can even be rich. It don't matter. You ain't God. No matter how tight you clench your fists and squint your eyes, want it to be so, if it's not real, it's not real. It's fantasy and it's a fairy tale. You can't just believe in anything you want and make it what you want it to be. You have to believe in what's real. Jesus Christ, God's Son, left heaven to come to earth. He placed his divinity, that's him being God, that means, he placed that into a human body, and he allowed that body to be crucified, killed, to pay for your sins and my sins. You accept that gift, you take advantage of that through faith. You believe in what he did. And God's Spirit then comes and lives inside of you to guide you the rest of your life. And it is your guarantee to get into heaven when you die. That's real. That's truth. That's reality. And that's what the care instructions in your life shirt start with. Back to the million-dollar question. So why isn't everyone following him? That's a pretty compelling argument. Let me ask you, if you're not following him, and don't feel bad if you're not, I wasn't for a long time. If you're not following him, I want to ask you, why aren't you? Why aren't you following God? In fact, I encourage you, I left room on your outline for this. If you are not following God, I want you to tell me what's wrong with God. I want you to on that outline, write down your answer why you do not want to accept God. Write it down, and if you decide that you don't want to accept Jesus' free gift, you have room to write that down. And then you know why. You know why you don't want God. By the way, here's what I wrote down. I'll be honest with you. Here's what I wrote down many, many years ago. When I was a teenager, I was not following Jesus Christ. I didn't want him. And here's what I wrote on my line. God offers an unattractive, unfulfilling, and harsh life. That's what I believe. If I follow him, my life will be boring. If I follow him, my life will be difficult. If I follow him, my life will probably be loveless and painful. What I found, friends, what I found was I was fairy-taling about God. Big time. None of that was true. None of it. And guess what? Anything you wrote down, it's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. It's a lie. At the heart of it, when you unpack it and get to why you don't want to trust God, it's a fairy tale. No matter what you said, it's not true. Maybe you wrote this. I'm scared. I don't want to accept God because I'm scared. Well, ask anyone. I encourage you. Ask anyone who is serving God if your fear is a valid thing, that you should be scared of God. They will tell you no. You're fairy-taling. Maybe you wrote down, you know what, here's the deal. I want what I want in life. And I don't want what I think God has for me. Well, here's the fantasy that you're believing. You believe you know better than God. You believe I know better what I should have and what I want and what's going to make me happy. I know better. Sounds good, but it's a fairy tale. You're fairy-taling about God. His ways, we're told, are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What he wants is better for you immeasurably. Maybe you wrote this. You know what? I just don't believe. I just do not believe that he is there. I don't believe he's there. Well, let me tell you this. You're believing something. You're definitely believing something. Think about it. Have you ever had, you have to have an answer to this question. You have to, in your head, you have to answer this question. How was everything created? You got to have an answer in your head. whether it's a good answer or a bad answer, you got to have an answer. How was everything created? Where did life come from? You got to have an answer in your head. Maybe you believe there was a big bang, okay? Maybe you believe that was a dirt collision. Dirt collision, that's how life came to be. Here's a new one. It was implanted here from another solar system. Or evolution. Gang, all of those are really terrible ideas that never get to the origin of where anything ever came from. You do know that, right? It never gets to where anything came from. It all starts with something, and that's not how it works. But the answer is that you're fairytaling about God. You're fairytaling. If you're believing something other than God created it, it really doesn't hold water. Gang, fairytale number one tries to convince us there are plenty of gods. Picking any one of them will work, especially if you're sincere, especially if you're fully devoted in your commitment. All I can say to you, and this is, I'm being honest as I can, I'm trying to just give you help. You're going to have about as much luck with that fairy tale that I just said as you would ironing a nylon shirt. That's the kind of luck you're going to have with that. When you're ready, come back. I'll talk to you. But that's what's going to happen. That leads us to fairy tale number two. Divine care handling instructions are inconsequential. Friends, those symbols on my performance fishing shirt were not placed there. Think about this. They were not placed there to bring joy to the person who made it. That's not why they're there. Those instructions on my performance fishing shirt were not made to make my life difficult. Right? They weren't there for that. And those guidelines on my performance fishing shirt, those care handling instructions, were not written down for me to ignore or dispute. They were put there to make my experience with this thing better, to give me a better life with it. That's what God our Father is doing when he speaks instructions to us through the Bible. That's what he's doing. Instructions like this. Here's one of your care handling instructions on your life shirt. Have nothing that you treasure more than God. Have no other gods before me, he said, if you want to put it right down there. And here's why. Life will work best for you. Life will work best for you with God as your undisputed leader. If you're just following him, you're going to be okay. Not getting pulled in two directions. Another one of his care instructions for you and me to make our life better. He says, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Don't stay angry. How about this one? Being equally yoked. Marry someone, date someone, get in relationship with someone who is spiritually where you are. Be at the same place. You will enjoy life a lot better. That shirt's going to fit great and feel awesome if you're both on the same page. Here's another one. Be at peace with everyone. You may have people who don't like you. I got people who don't like me. Can you believe that, Joe? How can you not like me? Right? Fine, my intensity, I get it. Be at peace with everyone. Work hard and save money for a rainy day. More God's instructions from the Bible. Respect your father and mother, and you will avoid the chaos and the struggle that plagues others. Seek God first. Seek his will first and advance his purposes. How about this one? Just be kind. Fruit of the Spirit. Kindness. Watch what you say. We've all been there. We all paid on that one, right? How about this? God's saying, be wholesome. Feed your mind with what is helpful. All care instructions, these are all care instructions that God gives us for our lives that are designed to give you a full, abundant, capable, and resilient life. If we think God's care instructions are unimportant, if we think God's care instructions are arbitrary or dismissible, we're fairytaling about God. We have to first know that God has care instructions for our lives, and second, we have to respect and abide by those instructions. Okay, let's head into our final fairy tale about God. Believing you won't struggle or have difficulty. This fairy tale wants us to believe that with God at our side and a healthy relationship with Jesus, this lie wants to tell us you're not going to struggle with anything. You're not going to struggle at all. If Jesus is holding your hand, you're never going to struggle. You will have no challenges in life. Well, Jesus himself addressed that fairy tale. Jesus said this in John 16, 33. Jesus speaking, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, he says, take heart. I've conquered the world. It means I beat everything. Soldiers, there are two kinds of trouble in our lives, two kinds of trouble. First is trouble that you and I usher into our lives. We bring our own trouble into our life. The second, though, is trouble that God ushers into our lives. Hang with me on this. This whole study that we've been doing about enjoying life has been aimed. I have been aimed, when the Bible has been aimed, this whole series has been aimed at you and me minimizing and dealing with troubles that we have ushered into our lives, right? Choices that we have made, how can we fix that? Words we have said, ugh. Yep, how can we fix that? Lies we have believed, things that we have broken. These are troubles we have the power through the Holy Spirit to regulate and even eradicate in our lives. But remember that second category? These are trials that God allows. These are trials that God brings into our lives so that he can grow us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Your troubles have come in order to prove that your faith is real. It is worth more than gold. Gold can pass away even though fire has made it pure, but your faith is meant to bring praise. Your faith is meant to bring honor to God, and your faith is meant to bring glory to God. That will happen when Jesus Christ returns. Bible students, God allowed Joseph in the Bible. Remember, we remember Joseph, the Old Testament. God allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery. God allowed that to happen. And God used it to save the entire region from starvation. 7-year drought. Joseph fixed the whole thing. God allowed Paul and Silas to go to prison. Can you imagine if the door busted open right now, took us to prison? And God, that happened. Paul and Silas took them to prison. God allowed that to happen to them so that they could save a Philippian jailer, which they did. God allowed his son to be nailed to a cross to save the world from sin. Gang, God will use difficulties and God will use struggles in our lives to steer us where he wants us to go. Sometimes it takes dynamite for God to get us to turn from a path we're on, doesn't it? I've seen people come down with unbelievable diagnoses, scary diagnoses, and they said, I gotta change the way I live. Might have been God. God will use difficulties and struggles in our lives to grow our character, to help us buck up, be able to get through a tough time. All of a sudden, we're more resilient because of it. God will use tough times in our life to drive us closer to him. Go through a hard time. You're going to be talking to God more. You know it. I know it. I do too. God will use struggles and difficulties to accomplish things for his kingdom. Maybe the story you're living, the hard time you're going through, you're going to share that story with somebody who's going to need to hear it. And you're going to wow them with how God came through and how strong you were and how you were somebody who could handle it. God uses struggles and difficulties to show his power and to show his glory, how he can come through. And God gives us struggles and difficulties to give us opportunities for eternal reward. We're building up. You have a bank account in heaven. This is not a selfish thing. Jesus said, build up treasure for yourself in heaven. What? That sounds very self-centered. That sounds very self. Jesus said, build up treasure for yourself in heaven where moth cannot eat and rust cannot destroy. Build up treasures in heaven. Going through a trial, going through a difficulty, gives you opportunity to build reward for yourself in heaven. But what we need to remember through these trials, through these difficulties, what you need to remember is that God will usher these into your lives, but they are personally designed for you. He didn't just slap anything there. Personally designed, God knowing full well what you can take. He will not give you anything you can't take. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. Did you catch that? God will not allow us to be tested beyond our power to remain firm. Get this, at that time that you are put to the test, he will give you strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. Friends, we will encounter difficulties on our road to the celestial city, but God has a purpose for them, and he will use whatever he puts you through, he will use it to bring about good somehow. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all these things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. That is why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Friends, the truth is, we can enjoy life, even when trouble surrounds us, because we have a God who is in control over it all, a God who has promised to protect us and strengthen us through it, and a God who has promised to bring good from that one day. If we think we will have no struggle, if we think with God there should be no difficulty, you're fairy-taling about God. Don't do that. You won't enjoy life that way. But if we believe the God who created all things is ruling and guiding our lives, if we embrace his care instructions, if we embrace them and say, I'm going to do them, if we embrace his care instructions for living, and if we reaffirm our faith and our trust in him through good times and through bad, we will find inexplicable joy in life. And your magnet will shine brightly wherever you put it. I am looking forward to the day I see those magnets all over people's cars, and I am dying to get one on an Apache helicopter in Poland, Europe. And it's going to happen. If I got to glue it there myself, it's going to happen. Let's worship God together. Lord, that has kind of been our prayer, our hope for this whole past year, that you would take what the enemy meant for evil and you would use it for good. That somehow, this tiny little insignificant church would advance your kingdom throughout this past 12, 13 months. That when we were shut down and slowed down and hampered, and we never let up. But we pray that it wasn't for our glory. We pray that it was for your glory. That this trial, this test we went through,
that it was for bringing glory to you and showing how great you are, how you never let us down, and how we're still standing, and we're still serving, and we're still praising you at the top of our lungs a year later. Because no matter what they threw at us, we loved you more. And I pray you'd help us continue that and see it through to the end, that when we sit around the grand campfire, whenever it will be, when everything's over and things are back to whatever normal looks like, we'll smile. We'll smile because we can say we took ground. We were faithful. We put a smile on God's face. And maybe we'll even see people in a pool this summer who found you in a time that the enemy meant for evil, that you meant for good. Lord, help us wear our magnets proudly. We are enjoying life. When everyone else is having a hard time, we're enjoying life. Because we have you. And you've promised to provide every need, not test us beyond what we can bear. And that's all for a reason. You're going to bring good. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we head out of this place. Thank you so much for tonight, Lord. And thank you for just the shot in the arm it was for us to be here. And I pray, Lord, that our enthusiasm would turn into inertia and movement and just a light that burns brightly for the world to see that shows you. Because people need Jesus. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen.